Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Pastor Danny, and you are listening to a message from a great series titled Forgiveness. Psalm 103, verse 12 says this, "He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." So God wants to forgive our sin and remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, "Come now, let's settle this. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool." When we talk about forgiveness from the Lord to us, and we say the Lord is going to forgive all your sin, he wants to come and to make you new, we use that term often. But if we're going to talk about this, I think it's only fair that we first come to an agreement about what is sin. When I think of the message of forgiveness, often I'm thinking as if I were talking to someone who's never accepted Christ. And if I come to them and I tell them, God wants to forgive all your sin, and he's going to do that for you, their first question might be, well, what makes you think I sin? What is sin? And do you have an answer for that? Well, when you go into Scripture, there's actually a number of words used for sin, as we term it. It's called iniquity in your Bible. It's called evil. It's called wickedness and sin. There's different words for it. Here's a few of the interpretations of those original words. Sin could mean revolt, rebellion, disobedience, fault, offense, crime, evil, perversity, depravity, to miss the mark, to do or go wrong. Okay, so a number of different words that we use. Now, interestingly, when you look at the original words, those words contained in their meaning not just the offense or the wrong, but they also contained within them the idea of guilt and punishment altogether. Because you can't have one without the other. Sin, if I can give you a picture, is like a seed that contains everything in it. And when you sin, you plant the seed and all the rest grows with it. Okay? And so even their words in the original kind of had that connection with it. It would be like planting a tomato seed. For any gardeners here, the seed has everything in it to produce a green plant with big red tomatoes on it. And once it's planted, then it has the ability to do that. Okay, so just for a picture for you of when you're in Scripture reading, well, what is sin? Now, I know I gave you some of those words, revolt, rebellion, different ones. That gives you a little bit of idea, but I think to clearly understand what is sin, you've got to go to Scripture, and you need to see where did it all begin. In Genesis chapter 2, 15 to 18, and also chapter 3, 1 to 19, we read the story of Adam and Eve, the first humans on earth and the first people to sin. I say first people because we know from Scripture that Lucifer, the devil, rebelled against God before humans were on the earth. But let's just stick to the humans today. And Adam was created and he was put in the garden to work it even before Eve was created. And by the way, in case anybody's wondering, work is not sin and work is not punishment for sin. Okay, you need to know that. And if you're doing a job that you hate, it's not punishment, it just means that's not where your gifting is and you should probably figure out where you need to be. Okay? Work is good for us. God created us with the ability to work. It builds our character. It gives us purpose. So just in case anybody was feeling like their work was their punishment or something, it's not meant to be. Okay? Now, God does not ask us to overwork. He says we should rest, right? You should rest every 7 days. So God doesn't want you overworking. And if you're being overworked to the point of hating your job, well, see if you can fix that. All right. So Adam is put in the garden to work it. Eve is created from a rib, and they are put there together, and God gives them just one rule. Don't eat of that tree in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just don't eat it, okay? If you do, you will surely die. That's what he tells them. Gives them the don't and what would happen if you do. Well, not too long after in the garden, we know that the serpent comes, and it's Satan himself working through the serpent. He tricks or deceives Eve into eating the fruit. He comes to her and he says, well, did God really say? And, you know, he twists things a bit and makes it sound good. And then Eve, who is tricked, the thing is she is tricked to believe that she should fulfill her desires and please herself, that that is more important than obeying God. That's what she's ultimately tricked into doing. And it's interesting, the devil hasn't changed a thing. He still does the same. So she takes the fruit and eats it, and Adam, who knows it's wrong, just decides, well, I'll eat it with you, and he doesn't really care. Eve was tricked. Adam just did wrong because he didn't care. And that's why later in Scripture you'll see that Adam is blamed, not Eve. And we see that sin entered in, and according to Scripture, all are then under sin from that day. So we live in a fallen or sinful world. Okay? So when we look at what is sin, we realize disobedience to God was sin initially. But also as we continue on in Genesis, we come to Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 to 7, and we read the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's oldest two sons. And they came to bring a sacrifice to God. And it says in verse 4, Abel brought a gift or a sacrifice, the best portion of the firstborn lambs of his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. So here, Cain has become angry, and when we read it, it's because he's jealous that God accepted Abel and not him. Now, interestingly, from God's response to him, obviously he was told that when you bring a sacrifice, it should be the shedding of blood, a lamb. But Cain chose to just bring some fruit and vegetables and do it his own way. Okay? God wouldn't have told him, if you do what's right, it's good, if he didn't know what was right. So obviously he was told. But he becomes angry with someone who's doing it right. And God tells him, sin is crouching at the door, deal with it, is basically what God says. I want to say this, just doing whatever you feel or doing whatever feels good is not scriptural, okay? No more than just follow your heart is not scriptural. Doing what feels good and following your heart is not what God's word tells us to do. Think about it for a minute. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Don't follow your heart. Don't follow your feelings or your emotions. Think about it for a minute. The reason the flood came upon the entire earth was because everyone was just following their heart. And that's what Scripture says. Genesis 6, verse 5, it says, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention and the thought of his heart was only evil continually. They all just started following their heart. I don't like somebody, I'm going to hit him with a club. I want to do what I feel like doing, I'm going to do what I feel like doing. They followed their heart. Genesis 8, 21 said, this is when the flood is completely over, the ground has dried up, The animals come off the ark, and Noah comes off the ark with his family, and he gives a sacrifice, a sweet smell to the Lord. And in verse 21, it says, "The Lord smelled a pleasing smell, and the Lord said to himself, 'I will never again curse all the ground because of man, for the desire of man's heart is sinful from when he is young. I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done.'" Did you catch that? From a young age, the heart's natural tendency is to go towards sin. So no, don't just follow your heart. Your heart will lead you astray. Because here's the thing, your feelings or your heart may one day say, "I want this." And in a couple weeks, it may decide it wants this. You will be confused, hurt, and following your heart will lead you to sin, according to Scripture. Think about it for a minute. Jesus was the perfect, righteous Son of God. It says no sin was in him, and he did not just follow his heart or his feelings. Think about that. Do you remember him saying that? "I just follow my heart, whatever I feel." No, he didn't. He very clearly told us this. He said, "I only do what I hear my Father say, or I only do what I see my Father do." In other words, the perfect Son of God said, "I know what's right and what's sin because of what my Father has told me, God our Father. I do what he says, not what I feel like." Did you know what? Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. It's why in the garden he sweat great drops of blood. He didn't feel like it. His heart told him, "Don't do it, it's going to hurt." But he said, "I only do what I see the Father do. I only do what I hear him say." Listen, if I can get this across to you, sin is not determined by what your heart says. It's determined by what God says. So again, this is a message about forgiveness, but I'm just taking a little time to talk about what is sin. Colossians 3, verse 5 to 11, Paul writing this, he's talking about the sinful nature, and he writes this whole list. He says in verse 5, "Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now in this time, get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us." Now, when I read this scripture, here's Paul saying the sinful nature, and he lists all these things. And as we're reading them, most of us would be like, "Oh, sexual morality, that's bad. Oh, impure, lust, evil, oh, those are really bad." And then he puts in greedy. Greedy. And then he puts in anger. And we're like, "Well, those must be like little problems, and the other ones are big problems." There's no such thing as a little sin and a big sin. Just sin. And he's saying to his people, listen, don't walk in these. They're sin. You want to know what is sin? I'm just giving you a little bit of a picture from God's word. Let me say this. Sin is not defined by our culture. Sin is declared by our Creator. I need to make this clear to you. Sin is not defined by where you live and who you're around. Sin is declared by the Creator of this universe, and He has the right to do it. Maybe a picture will help you. Now, Please understand, life is not a game, but maybe think of this. You went to the store and you purchased a game. You brought it home. You read the rules from the creator of the game, and when you play the game, it makes sense. You don't make up your own rules. And yet, how often as people, we think we can make up our own rules? Well, because then I win even if I do my own thing. You ever played a game with little kids and they want to change the rule because they realize they might not win? God, our creator, declares what is sin and what isn't. Sin, obviously, a clear idea is that it's breaking God's laws. In 1 John 3, 4 to 10, we read that. It says, everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sin, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they're righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I don't want to go too deep into that because the message is not a message about sin today. It's a message about forgiveness. But what are we forgiven from? We need to know. You know, if you have your own interpretation of what sin is, then you don't really understand forgiveness. It's here. It's in Scripture. Can I say this for a minute? If you don't want to let go of your sin, you can find somebody who will tell you that it's okay. If you are too proud to admit that there's an issue or something wrong, you can find a book probably written by a Christian that'll tell you it's okay. You can find a book that'll tell you anger's just fine. You can find a book that'll tell you you can have more than one wife and they'll use scriptures. You can find a book that says you can live in sexual immorality and they'll use some scriptures. You know, the devil hasn't changed his tactics. If they'd have used books in the Garden of Eden, he'd have written a book rightly interpreting what God really meant when he said, don't eat from the tree. You need to be humble enough that you'll just come to God and say, hey, your word says this isn't okay. Lord, I messed up. I want you to forgive me and I want you to set me free. Not, well, I'm so wonderful and proud. Obviously, God's word is a little off, or we need to, you know, change something so that I feel good about living in sin. Don't. Convincing yourself that living in sin is perfectly fine is like convincing yourself that living under a cruel master is perfectly fine. If you're a slave, you need to be set free from being a slave. You don't need someone to give you a book that tells you it's perfectly fine. You're like, is that scripture? Yeah, it is. John 8, verse 32 to 36, Jesus calls sin slavery. And you will know the truth, Jesus says, and the truth will set you free. And the people look at him and they say, but we're descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you'll be set free? And Jesus replies, I tell you truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. Who wants to be truly free? I do. I don't want to be smart and try to convince myself that whatever my issue is totally fine. It isn't. And if I've messed up, I'm going to ask forgiveness. So why do we need to be forgiven from sin? So we've kind of looked at what is sin. I think most people get it. Scripture actually tells us that even the ungodly, because of the creation we're in, have a sense of what is right and wrong. So even people who don't serve God. You know, the interesting thing, I've been in ministry since I was 15, in worship ministry, different stuff, and in work situations. I've worked in many different places with people who aren't Christians, and you know what? Never have I had an unsaved person come to me and try to convince me that the sin they were living in was okay. Not once. You know who comes and does that to me? Christians. Never have I had an unsaved person do that. They know they're living wrong, they just don't care. You know, there's some that maybe are upset and they don't want you to ever talk about it, but they know. They never once said, well, I got this book that says the way I'm living is perfect. Never. Why do Christians do it? Why? When we have the answer. I believe it's pride. We just don't want anybody to know we messed up or that we could have an issue. Even pastors mess up. Okay? So why do we need to be forgiven? The number one reason, well, there is a few reasons, but the first one I'm going to mention is the fact that sin holds people in bondage. And I just read you the verse where Christ says it's like being a slave. You need to be forgiven and set free from sin because it holds people in bondage. And if you call yourself a Christian, you should not be in bondage to anything. No sin should control you or rule you. You do not need to be a slave to it. So get forgiven, get free. That's enough about that. Secondly, we need to be forgiven and made free because sin causes people to hate and destroy one another. You know, all over the world right now, we see that anger and hate rising and people destroying one another. You can read about Africa, and there's another genocide, it seems like, every couple months, where one group is destroying another group. You can read about it in Muslim countries. You can read about anger building in our own country and racism galore. You can see it in families. You can see it simply between groups of people. And some of them act on that anger, and people are destroyed. Sin is the key, it is the core to that destruction. Not willing to be forgiven, not willing to be free from it, they walk in it. Of course, I read the story to you about Cain and Abel, who Cain was told by God, deal with it, because sin's crouching at the door. Deal with your anger, deal with your jealousy. Cain, getting instructed by God himself, says like, yeah, I don't think I want to listen to you. I'm going to go kill my brother. And so he kills his brother. That's sin fulfilling. Galatians 5 and verse 14 to 21, we read this. It says, the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So we read that sin is not fulfilling his law. And then he says, summing up the law, love your neighbor as yourself. Where there's hate, it's sin. Let me just say it plain can be. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, but if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out the good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And then here goes Paul with his list again. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Whew, what a big list. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's sin. Okay? I gotta say it the way Scripture says it. So you read through that list and you saw quarreling and hostility and dissension and division. sin causes people to hate and destroy. You want to deal with racism? You've got to deal with a heart, and it's got to be forgiven and set free from sin first, or racism will continue. If you struggle with racism in your heart, then you need to forgive. You need to be forgiven. You need to be free. It's not okay. Don't justify it. Every person is a creation of God, and every person is an individual. And every person deserves the love of Christ first. And of course, the number one big reason that most of us, if we're Christians, know, we need to be forgiven and made free because sin separates from God and brings eternal death. The number one reason we need His forgiveness. If we continue in sin, we don't give it to Him, we don't allow Him to forgive us, we are headed for death and an eternal separation from Him. Romans 5:12 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. You know, God wanted His people to walk with Him and talk with Him, but they were separated from Him because of sin. And Revelation 20, verse 10 to 15, talks about the very end of time, how that the lake of fire that burns forever and ever, and it says death and hell will be cast into it, and anyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's eternal, guys. But yet there's an answer, a simple answer. And it's called forgiveness from Christ. So how do we receive that forgiveness? You know, I know many of you here today are Christians already. This is not just a salvation message. Because I know Christians who carry unforgiveness, who walk in sin and need God's forgiveness. So this isn't just for somebody who's unsaved. We receive that forgiveness and freedom from sin because of what Christ did. We sang the songs today, how He died on that cross. He shed His blood for you and I. He paid the price, and we receive it. And it's simple. Colossians 1:14 said, He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, by grace you're saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's a gift. If I can say anything and help you not to ever forget it, forgiveness is a gift. Do you understand? Because when we talk about sin and forgiveness, some people think, oh, when he's doing this message, he's telling me I've got to try harder, I've got to do more on my own strength. No. You need to accept His forgiveness and freedom, and it's a free gift. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Christ paid it. He made it possible. And He said, this is simply how you receive forgiveness. In Romans 10:9-10, He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. You use your mouth because you believe He has paid the price and He has the ability to forgive you. You use your mouth and you say, Lord, forgive me, make me free. It's that simple. That begins the process of healing for each of us. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Hey, if you'd like to know more about Abundant Life Worship Center and what we do here, you can check us out on our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.